Thank you for downloading the Flixsters podcast. On this week's episode...
Do you remember back in 2004 where you had places like Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib prison? Do you remember the shit that went down with the torture?
Yeah, that's where we met, isn't it? Remember? I wasn't sure we were supposed to talk about that, but I'm only going to take 2 minutes to talk about it because this movie is mad. This is a hidden gem stroke. Just, is it so rubbish I need to watch it? I don't know. You find that for yourself. Two people in most of the film is two people in it. That's all you're going to see. They wake up naked in a bed and they are attached by the abdomen. They are surgically attached by the abdomen.
And we are off.
Yes.
For another episode. All right. So Deval and I, we're back again. So here's episode 172.
We are damn
172, Deval. Seriously. Let me know when we get to 200, man. 200 episodes is another milestone. So listen, yeah, so this is our second episode of 2022, 172. We've got some movies that we want to speak about. We're going to be talking shit for the next like kind of like 45, 50 minutes. So we're going to see how we get on with our reviews. We've got some decent movies that we want to speak about. And yeah, we're going to try and make this light and breezy, Deval, because over here in Brisbane, I need breeze, man, because it's so hot. It's so friggin' hot, man. So friggin' hot. Oh, by the way, did you hear about Djokovic?
Yeah, I heard he's in Melbourne for the Australian Open. And
he just flew over.
Quarantined. Yeah, he's like, Australia does not mess around. I don't know if you've seen this thing, Border Force. Border Force Australia is the worst border force in the world. They don't let shit through. So, yeah, he's...
Exactly. He's like, so, my man, he rocked up without a vaccination. He's like, yeah, I'm Novak Djokovic. And they were like, detention center straight away. So, he's been in the detention center for the last couple of days. And tomorrow, they're going to maybe work some shit out. But you know what, man? He's going to get through. I reckon he's going to do it, man. Because he's Novak Djokovic.
Natural immunity or something, isn't it? Because he had...
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
I think some athletes are a bit tentative about it because they've heard of other athletes suffering, you know, I don't know, heart problems or something. So there seems to be a bit of, you know, things being spoken about that are scaring athletes. So, but anyway, that's another story.
Another story. Yeah. Any decent tennis films that you've seen apart from King Richard?
That's the only tennis film I've seen. I haven't seen, I think, Match Point or something that's got Paul Bettany, I think a while ago. Yeah. I think it's called Match Point or something, but no, I haven't seen it. And maybe Jane Watson. What's her name? The original Mary Jane Watson from Spider-Man. What's her name?
Oh, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. I think she might have been in the tennis film as well, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, Wimbledon.
Is it called Wimbledon? Yeah, of course. I should have
named. There you go. Yeah, exactly. We should know that shit. All right. Okay. Listen, look, folks, here's the rundown. We've got movie news. Well, we've got shout outs, movie news. We've got some trailers that we want to speak about, some stuff on streaming, and obviously some film reviews. And if we've got time, we're going to throw in a hidden gem. But listen, here it is. Here's episode 172. All right, Deval, let's kick off.
Kick off. So we're going to do a couple of quick shout outs. First one goes out to Adele Turner. So Adele Turner, she loves Korean movies. That's what I'm going to say. She's always posting about Korean movies and all sorts on Instagram. Really cool character. She always, messages and does shout outs and stuff like that about what she's up to. Go check out her page. And our second shout out goes out to O'Shea PD. And he's not O'Shea PD as in like O'Shea Police Department. That's just him, O'Shea PD. And he's looking forward to The Northman just as we are. So The Northman is Robert Eggers' movie coming out in April, and it's going to be a gangster movie. Really, really good film. So we're looking out for that one. So yeah, we'll let you know when it comes out. Those are the shout outs. Yeah, also before we move on, it's just a quick shout out to our prize. Again, our prize is still going on. You can win Disney Plus subscription. It's free up until the 30th of April. So you get 4 months so you can watch Boba Fett and all the Marvel stuff, as well as all the Disney stuff. So yeah, all you got to do is write a quick review, post that review, let us know where it is, and we will send you that Disney Plus subscription password and login. So there you go. Nice and easy for you.
Get on it. Seriously, let's do it. All right. Okay. Movie news now. Deval, this is so strange, isn't it? Well, actually, maybe not. But Morbius, the Sony Marvel movie that we were supposed to be seeing like in the next like week or so, it's been delayed. Now, listen, folks, this movie was supposed to come out in July 2019?
Oh, actually, you're right. I don't know when it, I actually don't know when it was originally supposed to come out. I've lost track. It's
been over a year. So the movie was supposed to come out in January. And now it's been delayed until what, April is it? April, I think, sometime.
Yeah.
The rumor is, Deval, now listen, whether or not we believe this or not, the rumor is they want to do some reshoots because they want to add in an end credit scene.
Is it?
A new one.
A new one.
Which ties in to another Spider-Man.
Oh no, don't tell me. Hold on. Because I also, as part of the news, we are also understanding that Andrew Garfield has been confirmed to be returning to do a third Spider-Man movie. So are you trying to say, are you trying to tie these together? Are you saying that Morbius is putting in the end credit scene, introduce another Spider-Man who could be Andrew Garfield or...
Yeah, like, but then how does that whole work? Because Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, he got sent back, so... Is this universe is...
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, because maybe then... Maybe the Morbius
is in universe, his universe. In,
yeah. Oh, shit. That's... Yeah. That could be. Because we've already seen Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, dealing with what's his name? Connors.
Connors, yeah.
Connors, yeah. So he's already dealt with an enemy of biological, you know, nature. You know, maybe he might be good. with I love dealing him. With Morbius, because he's also quite biological, you know what I mean? So,
Seriously, man, whatever they do. But isn't it weird? So listen, look, so on the back of that, you know, exactly what we just said there. So they are saying that Andrew Garfield is going to going to get another Spider-Man movie. Now, is this because of the success of, obviously it is because of the success of No Way Home, but is it also because people have realized actually he was a decent, he was an okay Spider-Man?
And he's a good actor. I think I mentioned it in our review of No Way Home. As an actor, I think he'd done really, really well. Like he didn't hold back when he was performing in No Way Home. And I think the audience, they're in a different mindset now, and I think they could appreciate that a lot more, and I think there were more of him. The reviews were that he'd done really well, so you know, the money talks, man. Sony want that money.
Exactly. And just on that, he was given an interview recently, and you know that scene where he says I love you guys, that apparently that was improvised.
I'm not surprised
because he said he really felt like that moment, and he goes, he actually loved them guys. So so that's really good. We'll keep you posted on that. So don't lose your shit. We'll find out exactly what's going on. Now, listen, let's speak about Ava DuVernay. Deval, remember she was roped in by DC, by Warner Brothers, because she was going to be directing the New Gods, and then that fell through. So she still has got her kind of foot in the DC doorway because she's a talented film director. She's got loads of great ideas, but check this out. She is behind this new CW show, and we know that CW, they usually make kind of like Arrowverse spin-offs, but check this out. There's a new show, it's called Naomi. Ava DuVernay, she is behind it, and it's a teen who runs a Superman fan site and discovers that she may not be from Earth after a mysterious event involving the Man of Steel rocks her small Pacific Northwestern hometown. So it's something to do with Superman. She ends up getting superpowers, and it's going to be about her. So Naomi, she's you know, an African-American character, and it's part... They're not going to have any crossovers with the Arrowverse, but it is kind of going to be that universe, but no crossovers just yet. Okay. So a new Smallville kind of type of a show, maybe?
It sounds like it. It sounds a bit more intimate, a bit more character-driven, and something that maybe DC think is less of a risk than doing the New Gods. But DC, for me, I mean, when it comes to TV shows, I think they're a bit better at the moment than movies. So maybe they should focus more on that. But I mean, like I said, Ava DuVernay is a great movie maker. So yeah. Whatever movie they give her to, you know, give her, I think she'll do a great job. But
yeah,
DC. DC meddle a lot. They get involved in, I don't know, do you know what?
Whatever. Exactly.
Whatever.
And basically, yeah. if fans listening, that is going to premiere on January the 11th. So go check it out.
It's already made and stuff, yeah?
Yeah, this is coming out January the 11th.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. There you go. That's soon. That's really soon. They got January the 11th for this, and then we got the January 13th for Peacemaker. The DC.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
They're ramping up, man. They are ramping up. So go check that one out. And talking about DC, let's speak about this. So Glasgow, Scotland. Mm. So check this out. Batgirl is, I didn't even know this. They're filming Batgirl right now as we speak in Glasgow, Duval.
In Glasgow? There's been a murder.
That is a great accent, Duval. Seriously, can you do the episode in that accent all the way through?
Of course I can. Of course I can.
Actually, no, maybe don't.
No.
So listen, Batgirl, we know there's Flash. We know that there's going to be Aquaman. We spoke about this last week. There's going to be Batman. But add to the list a new Batgirl movie. Mm. And the thing was, apparently they were handing out, because they were doing a lot of night shoots, they were handing out air plugs to residents because the noise was too loud, because it was too loud.
Serious. Oh my.
Apparently.
Gosh.
So Batgirl is coming, guys.
Is this the one that Joss Whedon was supposed to be directing? I know the directors got moved around a lot, so who knows who's directing at the moment. But yeah, I mean, Batgirl movie, you never know with DC. You just never know. So
we don't know what we're getting with DC. But listen, here's what we are getting with Amazon, Duval.
Mm, what are we getting? We're getting next day delivery?
Apart from next day delivery, by the way, we're getting a game adaptation. Now, Fallout, did you ever play Fallout on PlayStation?
Never did. That was a game that's like to do with like post-apocalyptic, like world has gone kind of mad and something's happened.
There's like one of these kind of like posts. I remember the kind of the poster of it where there was like a character with kind of like a face mask on there and like, Well, check this out. It's coming to Amazon and it's going to be produced and directed by or worked by Christopher Nolan's brother.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Jonathan Nolan.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they are looking to expand kind of Amazon. Obviously, always they're going to be, I think this year, is it this year we're going to be getting Lord of the Rings, I think. I think it's this year.
Yeah.
But they're saying that this is also going to be a big one because they want to expand this kind of gaming universe with this Fallout. Mm. So they want to take it off into different directions. But this is going to be kind of like an intimate introduction to the Fallout universe.
Mm.
Post-apocalyptic, loads of different characters. And there's going to be violent, there's going to be like gore, and there's going to be like a Doom type of kind of like violence.
Okay. Well, we saw Jonathan Nolan do quite well with Westworld.
Yes.
And obviously he's got, you know, Christopher Nolan to lean on as well for advice and so on. So yeah, it could be decent, you know, could be decent.
We'll see how that one pans out. If you're interested in the Golden Globes, folks, there's going to be the latest edition of the Golden Globes. Check this out. No hosts and no stars, Duval.
Right, no Globes. What do you make of that? Right, what's happening?
Because there's been so much controversy with kind of like, you know, number one, you know, kind of like the whole diversity thing, you know, they, you know, we need more kind of people of color on screens and like, you know, more kind of, you know, the members of that kind of organization needs to expand a bit, but they've gone with like having no red carpet, no hosts, no kind of fanfare, if you will, because I think people are basically shunning it really. They're just not interested anymore.
So what's going to happen then? How's it going to go? Like, what's going to be the flow of it?
I think literally they're just going to have basically an announcer, like going to be like, you know, they will have obviously people in the audience, but it's going to be like a pared down version basically, which I kind of thought was interesting. But listen, what does this mean for the Oscars? I mean, how do you reckon that's going to turn out?
I think the Oscars will have, I think they'll still do what they do, you know?
Yeah, Oscars is big, right?
Yeah, they'll still do what they do. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, awards are getting very political and very, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know, when it comes to like the categories and stuff. And you know, if they should represent certain groups or not, or be open, or, you know, genders and all sorts. So the future of awards is very much up in the air at the moment.
Big time. You know who deserves an award?
Who?
We do. Give us a flipping award. There must be some sort of podcast award thing out there, right? Yeah. There's got to be.
You know what? If we make our own awards,
we won.
Then we can award ourselves. Yeah,
exactly. There you go. All right, listen, we're going to be finishing up movie news. There's a couple of things. Last final points. Fans of The Boys. We kind of mentioned this on kind of like as a highlight on last week's episode, but The Boys season 3 is incoming. We only have to wait until the 3rd of June, and Deval will speak about the teaser trailer as well later on. But The Boys is premiering on the 3rd of June, so watch out for that one. And finally, rest in peace, Mr. Sidney Poitier. Exactly. That name, man.
His name right, Poitier.
That name, it just has gravitas, man.
Yeah.
But listen, this guy was causing waves, man. He was like, you know, he's obviously an icon, African-American icon, you know, Oscar winner. He's made some great movies. And I think in our WhatsApp group, we kind of spoke about this, like Stir Crazy. I remember that movie as a kid, man. And yeah, man, I totally forgot that Sidney Poitier directed Stir Crazy. You know, Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder, crazy movie. But he's done other great movies as well. But yeah, man, he passed away. So
94. Good innings, though. Good life. Changed a lot. So yeah, very positive. The social media's all over. Been posting his achievements and his image and stuff like that all week. So as you can see, he's touched many people. So yeah, definitely rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely rest in peace on that one. All right, on to new on streaming. And Deval, listen, you're going to have to fill me up on this one, because I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen any of The Book of Boba Fett. There's just too much shit that I'm watching. So what's going on? How are you rating it against The Mandalorian?
That alone tells me everything. That says a lot. That says a lot, because I know what you're like. There's certain shows, when it comes out, you will run to it. You will run to it. Literally.
I know.
And this, The Book of Boba Fett, I must be honest, I'm not going to spoil anything for you,
but
it hasn't...
It's not yet done
what I thought it was going to do.
And
I think you might even be sensing that because of your lack of urgency going to watch it. So all I can say is you haven't missed much.
Okay.
It's still worth a watch, but you haven't missed much. That's all I can say.
Damn.
It's sort of plodding along. You know, we're finding out who he was. After the events of Jedi, and it literally sort of starts from that. Actually, starts from him being, you know, he fell into that big worm thing, isn't it?
That Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, so it kind of starts from that, and you get to understand who he is. And yeah, it's interesting. It's good, but it's just not. You know what I mean? So
it doesn't have the Mandalorian level of kind of.
Even the music, they're very careful not to copy the Mandalorian music. That music is the best.
This one tries to
have that feel, but it just doesn't do it.
Okay.
Mandalorian music or something else. It's just
replay all the time, man, in this household. Yeah. Seriously. all right. Well, listen, go check that one out. The Book of Boba Fett. And listen, look, guys, we've only mentioned The Book of Boba Fett, but there's other stuff on there which we will get through, because there's so much stuff. Like, for example, I've been watching Dexter New Blood. I've been binge watching that, and you know, Cobra Kai as well. So yeah, man, I'm gonna fit in Boba Fett. I mean, you know, we got to make time for the Fett, but you know, we'll see how that all goes. But listen, we got to move on. New trailers, and listen, Deval, I got to mention this one: Operation Fortune, and our mate Guy Ritchie. So this is the latest Guy Ritchie movie, and you know, Guy Ritchie, man, he's kind of like, you know, he loves making these Cockney gangster movies. And you know, I remember watching Snatch in cinema, had a great time watching that. And The Gentleman just recently, he did what was the big Disney movie that he did, which I had to watch with the kids?
Excalibur, no, not that one, is it? Or King Arthur, that wasn't it, was it?
No, he did another, the Will Smith one. What was that one? Oh, Ali Baba.
Aladdin. It was Guy Ritchie.
That was Guy Ritchie. And you know what? I sat down. I thought I wasn't going to like it, but yeah, you know, I had a good time watching it with the kids. They loved it and everything like that. Will Smith is great in that one. So listen, this guy, he you know what? He makes big budget movies. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And this movie reteams him back up with Jason Statham. He's got Hugh Grant, who plays another Cockney gangster, like the gentleman. Hugh Grant, he's having like kind of like a second wind, you know, he's playing this kind of like offbeat type of characters and stuff, so which is really interesting. Also stars Aubrey Plaza, who we saw in Chucky. Do you remember her? The mother from like Chucky. But also, I'm really happy to say Josh Hartnett. When was the last time we saw Josh Hartnett in a movie, man?
Okay. 30 Days of Night. Good film, you know.
Great horror movie. Mm-hmm. Great vampire movie, that one. Mm. So Operation Fortune, directed by Guy Ritchie. And listen, Jason Statham, he's doing Jason Statham. You know, he goes, all right, mate. You know, he's doing exactly that. He plays kind of like some secret agent who has to infiltrate Hugh Grant. And one way of infiltrating Hugh Grant is, Hugh Grant is a huge, huge fan of a film actor. That film actor is played by Josh Hartnett, who then gets roped into the mission. So it's mad. The movie is absolutely mad. Okay. And the trailer, literally, the thing with trailers nowadays, Deval, they show you everything in the trailer. Literally, you'll know exactly what's the beginning, middle, and end. But I've got to say, I still want to see the movie because it just looks great.
Okay, I'm ready for that.
Ready for that one. Operation Fortune, go check that one out. Now, The Boys, I mentioned this before, Boys Season 3, there's a teaser out there. A short snippet, right? Isn't anything major, right?
Just enough, actually. I think for the amount of time we've got till it comes out, I think it's just enough time, or just enough to show us what is to come. They'll show us more in their trailers over the months, but you just know with The Boys what you're going to get. It's going to be wicked.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be flooded by new subscribers for sure.
Trust me. So go check that one out. It's just kind of like a little sneak peek. You know, what's his name? The blonde, the Superman Benson type Eccles. Guy?
Benson Eccles, is that his name?
No. Homelander.
Homelander, okay. I thought you meant the new guy that's going to be in it.
Yeah. But Homelander, you know, he's still crazy. This guy is still crazy. Oh, and this little teaser, man, the way the camera focuses in on him, he's still got shit going on behind his head, right? Man, behind his eyes.
Got this like funny mouth thing where he's like that. And it's just like, whether it's his natural look or whatever, it just adds to the character. He's such a good Homelander. Wicked.
He's really, wicked. Really good. So go check that one out. Now, I want to speak about this one. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. This is crazy title. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
I'm always rubbing my shoulders. It's like...
it's like, oh my gosh, man. It's like us two. It's like us two, man. There's so much talent that we bring to this episode. I feel tired afterwards.
That's why I always tell my football team, I've got a bad back. I've always got a bad back, and they ask me, why is your back always hurting? I'm like, man, it's from carrying this team all this time. It's like,
you sounded like Tobey Maguire, man. In Spider-Man. My back. But listen, look, I want to quickly just mention this. So The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent stars Nicolas Cage, and it also stars The Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal. And Nicolas Cage is playing Nicolas Cage. So... he's playing himself in this movie, right? And he's in debt. He's not getting any work. And
didn't that happen to him in real life?
You know what? I think it did. He wasn't getting roles, or he's getting really shit roles. Yeah. So basically what happens is his agent, played by, what's that guy from The Matrix? Resurrections? The architect.
Oh, the architect. I don't know what his real name is, but I know you mean,
You know, he's the blonde-haired guy and like, you know, that he's playing Nicolas Cage's agent. He says, listen, look, I've got a job for you. All you've got to do is paying, a $1 million. He's like, I'm not going to take it and everything like that. But then when he finds out what the money is, he goes, okay, I'll take it. Basically, he has to spend the weekend with Pedro Pascal because Pedro Pascal is his favorite. Is his number one fan. So he's got a fly to Italy. He's got to spend like the weekend with Pedro Pascal, and Pedro Pascal's got like posters and statues and mannequins. And then the trailer's crazy because Pedro Pascal wants him to reenact scenes from his movie. Mm. So like movies like The Rock.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you know, it's just the you know what? It looks so much fun.
That one. Yes, the Wicked Man.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, the movie looks amazing and I want to watch it. I don't know exactly when it's coming out because I kind of just watched it, like the trailer, a couple of times. But listen, this movie's going to be coming out, and Nicolas Cage, who they're saying, by the way, you know, we spoke about Oscars, they're saying that there's a chance that he could be Oscar nominated.
Serious?
Not for this movie, but for this movie called Pig.
Oh, that one. Okay, I still need to see that one. Still got to see it.
Still got to watch it. The guys, the guys on another level. All right, okay. Finally, Ozark season 4, part 1.
I cannot wait for this. Oh, it's part 1, so there's 2 parts of season 4.
That's it. And that's all we're getting. Because then there's no more Ozark. There's the final 2 seasons, basically. Yeah,
I saw the teaser. And that family are in some deep trouble, man. If you've been following the story, Ozark season 1, 2, 3... there's been a lot of shit going on, man. It's just getting deeper and deeper. The cartel. Oh, it's just like, oh, man. And Jason Bateman, who plays Jason Bateman, basically.
Yes.
He's
always the same in every film that he does. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It looks great, man. I think it's going to be a great ending to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, man, we'll see where this goes. But listen, if you haven't seen it, go check out Ozark. You're going to love it. And this is the end. The beginning of the end. All right, okay, Deval, let's do Anniversary Corner, man. What you got for us?
Well, you know, you're a lucky guy. I always say lucky you, you know? Because obviously, you know, you work with me, you know, and, you know, obviously your life has been magnified by that. But yeah, no, honestly. Okay, so yeah, Anniversary Corner, we're in 2022 now, so we now have to move the goalposts. And our anniversaries are going to be now 2012, 2007, 2002, and then 1997. So this movie is from 2007. It stars Eric Bana, who played the original. Yeah, he was the first Hulk movie, wasn't he? Well, of the modern era, I should think. I think back in the day there was a Hulk movie with Lou Ferrigno. But anyway, 2003, he played Hulk, Ang Lee. In this movie called Lucky You, we have Eric Bana and we have Drew Barrymore, and this one is they call it a romance movie, but it's about a guy who is a really talented poker player in Las Vegas, and he needs money to secure a seat in a competition. So he finds himself juggling between the demands of his personal and professional life. So basically, trying to make money to obviously better his life with his lady, Drew Barrymore. And obviously in Las Vegas, you know, it's Sin City. So all kinds of shit can go down and will go down. It's one of those films that, you know, bit of romance, bit of drama, bit of high pressure, bit of tension. I've never played poker in my life. So I don't know like how to do it, what to do. But I know in Las Vegas, playing any of these games, you can win, you can lose really
good.
So I can imagine this one would be quite entertaining to watch. So yeah, lucky you. Give it a watch if you like, or don't. It's up to you.
Exactly. Well, listen, look, I'm going to say this. Forget Lucky You, because I reckon our audience, our listeners, they will like this next movie that I'm going to speak about. It's a new movie. You can catch this in cinema wherever you are, or you actually might be able to catch this on streaming. It's definitely, whichever way you watch it, it's definitely worth a watch. All right. So that's, I'm going to throw that out there. You know, on the onset, this is called The Card Counter, and it stars Oscar Isaac, Ty Sheridan, Tiffany Haddish. Those are the three main people.
Okay.
And so basically I was like, you mentioned that you don't know how to play poker, right? Deval, I haven't got a Scooby-Doo about poker. Like, seriously, it hasn't I don't know. Does it translate well over into the UK? I don't know. Poker, Is it like an American thing or just something that we never got into?
But I think some people here do play it, but I think it is an American thing. That's what I think. I don't know for sure. But
Yeah. Well, it's big, huge in America. And like, they have like huge prizes and like people winning like a million and like, you know, dollars and things like that, right? So they have these huge tournaments. But listen, look, The Card Counter is a new movie by director Paul Schrader. This guy, Paul Schrader, he's been making movies for a really long time. He's been behind movies like, well, he wrote Taxi Driver. Okay. He wrote this movie called Bringing Out the Dead, which was directed by Scorsese. This movie, in fact, is actually produced by Martin Scorsese. So it's got this kind of like, I don't know, you can kind of like say kind of like film royalty if you think, you know, if you think about kind of, you know, Martin Scorsese, he's going to lend his name. I have the impression that Martin Scorsese only lends his names to movies which are going to be kind of like hard hitting and kind of like, you know, have like a real kind of like punch to them. So Oscar Isaac, he plays a guy called William Tell. He spent time in...
Seriously?
Yeah, I know. Weird.
Isn't he from... back in the Robin Hood days or something.
I know, it's so uncanny, right? And he spent time in prison. He was actually a military police. And this movie, believe it or not, is connected to real life events. Do you remember back in 2004 where you had places like Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib prison? Yeah. Do you remember the shit that went down with the torture?
Yeah, that's where we met, isn't it? Remember? Isn't that... I wasn't sure we were supposed to talk about that, but yeah, that's where we met, guys.
That's how we know each other, like, man. Seriously.
Through the cell. We couldn't see each other, but we spoke for years, just getting to know each
through
other.
Through all the torture. Yeah. That's classic. Right, so this movie is basically... That's throwing me off a little bit. But Oscar Isaac, he spent time in prison, right? And the reason why he spent time in prison is because he, a part of him, historically, he was one of the guards at Abu Ghraib, right? So this is a real life event. And shit went down. If you do the reading on this, right, Abu Ghraib, they tortured prisoners to get confessions and, you know, places in Guantanamo Bay and in prisons, basically, around America as well. They had this kind of... system where it was like torture your prisoners for information, and the tortures were like, eventually it came out that these were acts against like human rights and like, you know, inhumane. They basically treating the prisoners like animals. So something went down in Oscar William Tell's kind of life, and you kind of see through flashbacks what that was. He spent time in prison, he's out, but during his time in prison he became a card counter, right? Okay. So he spent a long time, and he explains in the beginning of the movie what card counting is, and you know what, it went over my head. And he kind of explains, and you see these kind of visuals on the screen, like, you know, it, depending on what type of card gets the dealer kind of pulls out, then you plus one or you minus one. So it's all this elaborate plan. But basically, he goes around from city to city, counting cards and winning money. But here's his thing: he bets small and he wins small, so that he doesn't create kind of
any trace. People can't monitor him. And
exactly. Yeah. So basically it doesn't get monitored or anything like that, right? So he goes from city to city, and then eventually he meets Tiffany Haddish's character called Lalinda, her name is. And she's like, listen, look, I know you, we've met before. Hey, listen, look, I want to stake you. So basically I want to put some money behind you, and let's see if we can go to city to city, and let's see if we can basically clean up, right? And then maybe get to kind of like the World Series. He's like, listen, look, I don't really do that sort of stuff. But like, thanks for the offer. And then whilst he's in some city, he meets, he goes into a conference because there's a name on the conference which is connected to his days at Abu Ghraib. And he goes to one of these conferences, and at the conference, there's a speaker played by none other than the Green Goblin.
Willem Dafoe.
Ah. At this conference, he meets another character, and their lives are inextricably linked because of the incident that happened at Abu Ghraib, right? So, and this guy is played by Ty Sheridan. So basically, look, you know, so there's three of them, they form this kind of relationship, and they go from city to city winning and kind of like, you know, using, there's a metaphor, and poker is kind of like this metaphor for how you live life, where people, we go through cycles, we go through life, and we go round and round and round and round until we get the answers that we're kind of looking for. And Oscar Isaac's character, William Tell, he kind of, that's how we view him in this movie. Like, he's going through city to city, he's living life, and he's trying to come to some kind of conclusion at the end of it. And boy, does the movie have a conclusion. And obviously, I'm not going to be spoiling what that is, but it kind of ties to his life of you know, the incident that played out in Abu Ghraib, right? That's all I'm going to say. And you know what, man? I tell you what, it doesn't sound like much, but it's definitely a movie that is worth watching. It's like an hour and like 45. It seems like that's a long movie, right? But you know what? The movie zips by because his acting is brilliant. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, we're going to be seeing him in a Marvel Disney Plus show.
In Moon Knight.
In this movie, you realize why they basically picked him. Because this guy is dark. He's moody. He's got a side to him, which is mean. He's like, I think this guy's going to do really good in Moon Knight after watching him in this performance. I think this is a great movie, which you should try and catch. It's not a movie. It has got poker in it and it has got gambling in it, but it's not specifically about that. It's more about kind of the psychology behind the people that are playing, you know, and, you know, the metaphor for life about some people, they just gamble and, you know, you gamble in life and you can win at the table or you lose and there's consequences and you just got to play the hand that you've been given.
Yeah. I heard that before. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
So what do I think? 6, 7, 8 out of 10?
I'm giving this movie a decent 7, 7.5 out of 10.
Okay, cool.
Definitely worth a watch, that one. So yeah, go check that one out, folks. That's called The Card Counter. If you can, if you love your poker movies or your card games, if you love your gambling, go check it out and watch it for future Marvel, you know, hero.
Will do. Okay. Well, I've got a movie I want to talk about.
Sure.
On Netflix. I saw this movie actually a few weeks ago and I was going to talk about it before, but Spider-Man and stuff came up. But I'll save it for another day. But this movie is called The Unforgivable. And it stars Sandra Bullock, also Viola Davis, Vincent D'Onofrio, John Bernthal. I've got his name right now. John Bernthal. They're the main sort of stars in this movie. And it's about Sandra Bullock, basically, who she's the older sister of a younger sister. And they have a family tragedy at one time in their lives, which mean that she has to raise her younger sister, raise her, like literally. Her younger sister's like 5 at the time, I think, or 6, something like that. And then Sandra Bullock at the time as well, she's also quite young. I think she's like, I don't know, 21, 22 maybe, something like that. So she's trying to raise her, do all she can, you know, work and stuff like that. But they can't keep up with payments on the house. They live in like a farm kind of area, quite rural, you know, away from the city. I think this is, which state is it in? I can't remember what state it is, but they live in quite a rural area. So the house is going to get repossessed. And, you know, the police come with the repossession people, come to repossess the house. And as the police is coming and people are coming to repossess the house, Sandra Bullock is like, no, leave us. The police officer comes around the back and he is shot. The police officer is shot and killed.
Dang.
And basically, this ain't really spoilery, but yeah, Sandra Bullock, you know, she goes down, she gets time in prison and she does 20 years for murder. And so this film is really looking at how she's going to recover her life after what has happened. 20 years, murder, gets released. Literally at the start of the film, she's getting released from prison. And now she has to try and pick up her life where she left off. Her younger sister has gone into the care system, has been fostered and stuff like that. So she's part of a new family. Sandra Bullock comes out. She struggles to get a job. Her probation officer, Turk, we've seen Turk before. Yeah, it's a Turk. He's her probation officer. He's quite tough on her, but he means well. Vincent D'Onofrio, he's basically a lawyer who Sandra Bullock goes to try and get access to her younger sister. But many people, as soon as they find out what she's done, they wash their hands of her. But Vincent D'Onofrio, he's got a bit of a soft heart, you know, and wants to help her. Viola Davis is Vincent D'Onofrio's wife. And she's got a bit of quite tentative, like apprehensive about Sandra Bullock and doesn't really want to go near her. The funny thing is, Vincent D'Onofrio and Viola Davis actually live in the old house that Sandra Bullock lived at. So the house that got repossessed is now where Vincent D'Onofrio and Viola Davis live at. She came to the house to visit. So she's got all these memories of a good life. Really, if you see her, she looks really quite battered by prison. 20 years she's done. She comes out and she's working in like a fish factory, literally like, you know, descaling fish all day long. Yeah, she can't get a break. She's trying to get jobs. It's just really tough for her. The film is very depressing at times. It's very real. It's not pretty. Like Sandra Bullock isn't pretty. And they make her look as, you know, weathered as possible. John Bernthal is, he works in the fish factory with her. They kind of forge a bit of a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what happens to that relationship, but yeah, she struggles, you know, with stuff. But she herself has been hit by these 20 years. It's changed her a lot. And all this time, she's trying to reconnect with her daughter. That's the sort of basis of the movie, but there's other things that go behind, that are happening behind the scenes in this movie that make it really compelling. And there's things that happen towards the end of the movie that, mate.
Oh, man.
It really
ratches it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't see it coming, but it changes everything.
Oh.
It does change everything. What I've explained so far is sort of the bog standard, what you expect
to be about. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But it's more than that. There's layers. It's
way more than that. There's also another sort of story line happening where the police officer who was killed, his sons now want revenge as well. That's also happening. Right. But yeah, there's more to it than that. It's like when you find out towards the end what's really going on, oh man, it changes things a lot. It's really emotional. It's a good film, you know. It's just done, I think it's about 2 hours, but all the performances, I mean, Sandra Bullock, I think she's won an Oscar. Yeah, Viola Davis, Oscar.
Yeah.
John Bernthal, you know, the Punisher, he's a good actor. Vincent D'Onofrio. There's a good Marvel connection there, you know.
There is, isn't there?
Yeah, but yeah, it's decent films. It's on Netflix. It's about 2 hours long, or just under, I think, or just over. But it's a decent movie. It's a real drama. Real drama. There's no explosions, no, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's a real drama movie. And
sometimes you need to watch those movies, man.
You have to.
We love comic book movies. We love Marvel action, like martial arts, all that sort of stuff. But sometimes the brain needs to kind of see a different type of a movie, and like the movies that we've spoken about.
Emotions.
Exactly. So listen, look, we've got two great movies for you to go check out. The Card Counter and The Unforgivable.
Yeah.
And Sandra Bullock, man. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen anything that she's been in, right? I mean, yeah, she was in
Bird Box. That happened Christmas. That's been about
2-3 years, right?
She's in a few bits and bobs. There's a movie coming out, actually. She's with Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum. It's a comedy, a real like wacky comedy that's coming out soon. So we'll see her in that. But yeah, this movie is on Netflix, so you got access to it. Go watch it. It's a decent movie.
Exactly. Go check that one out.
7.5 out of 10. It's good, you know, maybe an 8.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well done. Yeah, put that one on your watch list, folks. All right, okay. So listen, Deval, have we got time for one of your hidden gems?
I'm going to sneak this thing that I put this on a hidden gem list. Yeah, I'm going to speak about this in about 2 minutes because the film actually is called Two. The film is called Two or Dos. It's a Spanish movie, actually.
Is it
on Netflix. Yeah, it's got quite a low rating on IMDb, 4.2. I'm only going to take 2 minutes to talk about it. Because this movie is mad. This is a hidden gem stroke. Just, is it so rubbish I need to watch it? I don't know. You find that for yourself. But this movie is about two people, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Two people. In most of the film, there's two people in it. That's all you're going to see. They wake up naked in a bed and they are attached by the abdomen. They are surgically attached by the abdomen. So you're now you're, in your mind, you're thinking of the human centipede and stuff like that. It does kind of make you think that. And yeah, a little bit. It is sort of, you know, there are hints of it. But yeah, these two people wake up naked in a bed. They're face to face, attached by the abdomen, so the belly. They're stitched together, so they can't pull apart. They don't know each other. But throughout the movie, they find out they're linked. And this has been done, obviously, on purpose. But there's reasons why they have been stitched together, literally stitched together.
It's literally a stitch up. Yeah.
Stitch up, yeah. And they're in bed, and it's mad.
Is it? I saw
this and I thought, what the heck is this? It's crazy. The premise is mad. They're in one room. Room's got different parts to it. So they find clues in the room, and then they realize.
Can they, can they roll over?
They can. That's the thing. It's really, they've got to work together. They have to work together. Man. I mean, even so, this is, they go toilet together, man. It's like, they take turns going toilet.
And I've got to watch this movie. You got to watch it.
It's such a stupid film. You just have to watch it. And it's in Spanish too, so you'll like it. But yeah, it's just mad. It's just, they're both starkers. You get to see both of them. It's mad.
I love it.
It is mad. But you find out, obviously, who did it and why and all that. But obviously, these
people. Is it horror? It's not horror, though, is it?
I don't know. I mean, it's mystery, drama, thriller. It doesn't come under horror. It doesn't come under horror. But I mean, they're so close. They think that they think to themselves, why not? We might as well bang. So they end up banging. They end up figuring out a way to bang as well. Like these, I mean, they're thinking, I might as well. I might die here.
Exactly. Might as well get a bit nookie in.
Now. I mean, you see them on bits. They might as well get it in, so they get it on as well. It's a mad film. Okay, I took a bit longer than 2 minutes, but
yes. That is it. Brilliant.
It's called Two or Dos, Spanish. Go watch it. Watch You've it with the subtitles, or watch it in English.
Yeah.
Voiceover. It's on Netflix. You can catch it now. It is a mad film. That's it.
That you've sold it. DeVal has absolutely sold that one. So listen, look, three movies, and you can definitely, they're very, very accessible movies. Just like DeVal mentioned, they're on Netflix, and like, you know, you can watch Card Counter. Listen, look, that's all we've got time for on this week's episode, but remember, keep it locked with the Flicksters, because every week DeVal and I will be here, we'll be holding your hand, we'll be bringing you more movies and more movie news and more trailers, etc., etc. But listen, also get in touch with us. DeVal, how can they get in touch with us?
Yeah, Instagram is probably the best way. That's where most of our you know, our audience really communicate. YouTube as well, Twitter. Those are the main ways, I'll say. Yeah, so just reach out those ways.
There you have it. Go for it. And that's it. That's all we've got time for.
Yep, that's it, guys. Till next time. Peace out.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just pop in the Flicksters Podcast.